August 10, 2021, it's the Wife for Pedro Show.
Walk me home, I'll go in through the wall, up the stairs without touching anything at all. I'll sit by the window until you call. Where have you been all my afterlife? Well, what do I know?
For Pedro Show. Happy Tuesday. Started off with Giant Steps. This was the sixth take, and it was incomplete. See, believe it or not, even John Coltrane can play. Actually, I think Tommy Flanagan at the session just John Coltrane hands him a piece of paper with some, just some chords. Really, he said he took 13 years to get a solo he liked, but this one's okay, you know. And he was John Coltrane was probably practicing for 2 years, but hey, that's life deals you a hand, right? You got to play. Ghost Bang after that with Friendly Ghost. Who am I thinking of, Casper? No, I'm thinking of Brother Nick. Welcome aboard.
Hello.
And from Berlin, you're speaking to me, but I detect an accent, so maybe not originally from Berlin.
I am from Holland originally.
Oh, okay.
However, I speak English all day, every day, basically.
Yeah, you don't even have the Dutch kind of thing.
No, you have three Dutch. I think you have three types of Dutch people. You have the people who speak with an aggressively Dutch accent, and you have the people who do the British, and then you have people who do the American accent. I might be totally wrong, but
well, look, the Dutch thing is like 90% in the throat, right?
Yeah, it is.
Very interesting. I really like that. It's trippy. Like that, we can't say Vincent's name right because. And that's our fault. That ain't the Dutch beat. So, and I'm a big fan, especially his Yellows. Oh, God, I love the Yellows. But I want to talk about your music here. And mm-hmm. Not your journey through music. So, yeah, it was always hard. There's that movie where the guy keeps talking about pancakes. Right? The Dutch accent is a trippy thing. So, the main thing is just to get understood. But please bring your earliest. Oh, yeah. We got to thank Fratello Andrea, brother. Hello, Andrea. I think he's in Croatia right now with his family having a vacation, but he's the one who made the connect. So, big grazie.
He's back. He's back in Berlin.
Okay. Oh, he is. Okay. But he's a neighbor also, right?
Yes, I might meet him tomorrow.
Okay. And little Bianca?
Yeah. Yeah, nice. Sometimes we go for a walk. It's him, me, and little Bianca.
Yeah, she's walking. Yeah, God. I think born in February, right?
Oh, that I don't know.
She's pretty new. She's pretty new. Anyway, your journey. First or earliest musical recollection you can bring, Nick.
Okay. I think the first time that I was really interested in specific music was ABBA, the Swedish pop group. I think I saw a commercial on TV and I asked my parents if I could have the CD. And then this was a period where somehow they were selling ABBA CDs at the drugstore in Holland. And
No, that ain't so trippy. In the old days, believe it or not, like when I got my first 45 in the 60s, mm-hmm. they were all sold at drugstores. Tower Records started at a section of this guy's, his daddy's drugstore. Yeah, record stores way later down the road, so ain't so trippy.
Okay, well, that's the first thing that comes to mind, and this is the first music that I really listened to with full concentration.
Well, sometimes
on my own initiative.
Music could be the traffic outside when you're a baby in the fucking cradle or something. You know what
I mean? Oh, yeah.
That's why
for sure.
All these people that I've had on the show, they're teaching me that the definition of music, yeah, it can have ABBA, but it can have all kinds of shit in it, and I'm learning.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, a band with Tel Andrea, this is how I know him, El Sueño de Manayo, and the first time him and Tel Estate got together was with the Mattress Springs and alligator clips and shit. No drums, no guitar, you know? And they didn't need a bass player. But yeah,
that's crazy.
So I've learned to get bigger and bigger with my idea of music. So what part of Holland? Or I should say Netherlands, because Holland's only the west part.
Yeah, I'm not too sensitive about the Holland and Netherlands difference. But it's actually, I think it's because I'm from a part of the Netherlands that is generally mocked. I was born in a city called Heerlen, and this is, I think, this part of Holland. I don't actually know who it belonged to. I'm gonna say maybe at some point it belonged to Belgium. Was occupied by the Spanish at some point. But this is like the little southern leg on the east side.
You're talking about Limburg?
Yeah, that's where I'm from, yes.
Okay, this is where Dutch people put all their factories, so all the pollution goes.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if this is true, but I was told this.
No, yeah, my grandfather was a mine worker also. So there was some heavy industry, yes.
And as far as Europe's, besides pollution and all that, a very important town, old Roman town called Maastricht, the treaty that started all the EU started there, right?
That is correct, yes. I lived there for about 7-8 years also.
Okay.
Before moving to Berlin.
Now, this pad that you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
I don't know if it was my mother or my father's Spanish guitar. I guess they kind of argue about who owns it, neither of them can really play it. But it was around, but it was mostly I don't know, hidden away. So I would say no, there weren't any musical instruments around.
So it was there, but you didn't get to jump on it because acoustic guitars it figures prominently in this music you've flown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, first record you bought yourself with your own money, was it ABBA?
First record that I bought, I think my parents bought me that. When I started buying CDs with my pocket money, it was more like The Offspring and this kind of stuff. I was born in 1991, so I'm going to say stuff like The Offspring.
You know, same thing happened when I interviewed Tello Andrea. I embarrassed Tello Mike. Yeah, Green Day. Look, nobody, what do you say, a victim of your circumstance or whatever?
Yeah.
Right? No one picks the time they come into the world. And it's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. What about the first gig you saw?
First gig I saw? I think it was, I don't remember who played. It was when I was first year of high school, just some local bands, I think.
Ah, okay, because I was going to guess a festival, maybe, because a lot of bands play at those things. And Holland has a lot.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, Holland has an old-timey one, right? The pink?
Yeah, that's exactly, that's like 2 miles from,
right.
I guess, where my parents live, yeah.
I got to do it with the Stooges, and it's very long. I mean, I had to have a break this time, but the situation. I don't know much about the Dutch school system, but were you in the choir or the marching band or some kind of music shit?
I was actually in a singing choir as a kid, a Catholic singing choir, although my parents are secular people. They're not, they were baptized. I was baptized Roman Catholic, but secular people, not religious. And somehow I joined the church choir, but we sang just a lot of random songs, like Love Shine a Light, and stuff like that.
Well, you got to.
I forgot about it. It's just that you remind me. I never think about
it. Well, there's roots to where you are now, right? And you do a lot of singing and shit. Maybe this was, the kind of the beginning, at least to get some confidence up. I don't think the subject matter is so important, but the act of doing it, because that got your ball, your musical ball rolling, we would say, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Jeez, so, I never thought about it.
Well, everybody, look, there's lots of paths to get to where we are today, right? We all got different journeys, and I find yours interesting, so that's why we want to talk about it. You gave me this tune, Gulliver's Bride. I noticed all in English.
Yeah.
No Dutch. But we'll talk about that later. Let's play.
Okay.
Gulliver's Bride lays awake on the night before trial. Gulliver cries over the ways they could have loved, but his hands are tied.
Dome ringer hangs a cold mirror. How cold the faint, the separating light of din, through a vaguely serious gauze may sully from within, as from an untold diaspora of slivers and swell, hidden skyward are timorous trails, craterous rocks felled, or as cheese if it pleases, so the mocking mimicry smells. To those half asleep in the land of Nod do hear fairy tales of crepuscular nonsense akin to leprechaun socks slipping down the spindly legs of possibility where all misdirectedly watch the world disrobe. While stealing up the slippery shafts of light, charge courageously daft and moonlit nights. As those among with soul's capacity to see, while those casting card tricks and spells aloud do cry, we're being invaded, seeing green pyramids in the sky, where instead a sun-sized mirror may dispel the notion people drunk on potion never tell, yet lo and behold, the sun walks among us, robed in vapors of magic, cerulean wisps and rat, not in vacuum, but past us, shining answers ever a gift, floating under a glassine lens, holding torrents of infinity up, away from our seeking luck, soul steered, spacious struck, liquid as graciousness when, ever we thank that breath for letting us in. Woo woo! Baby, baby, baby.
Thank you. Thank you.
For Pedro Show. Start off that chunk of music with Ghost Bag and Gulliver's Bride. And Ghost Bag is the name of Well, not all of it. At the end, you gave me some stuff we're going to play in the third hour, but most of this is Ghostback. And then we had Mud Dome Ringer, brand new poem from Chris Skoger. He's got a new pad in Texas. I think he's moving to Belmont. Was telling me or something like that from us. And then Bronze Age UFO out of Baltimore with Lagoon Monster Rubber Mask Volume 2, Part A4, spinoff of the Mold Omen Project. And I Have a Nice Life, brand new, The Future. Sons of, yeah, this looks Flemish, huh? Flam. Of Williams featuring Philip Sianek. Yeah. Or maybe it's Slav. Yelena. And this is like your name, right? The J is like a Y.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're all using this Roman alphabet to make all these sounds, you know, so it's hard to guess sometimes. And then right here, like with the Mexican and stuff, it's an H sound. And then, with you guys, a Y sound. And with Italy, it's a, you know, soft G. I'm learning. Slow learner. Welcome home, little people, from Bombas Prendon. This band, 5,000-6,000 songs they recorded, maybe only 5-6 gigs, still going after 40 years. God is a Cop from Midwife. If Moana, Margolis out of Chester, New York, with the Evocation. And finally, Lion, Ghostback. Okay, so how do you end up? If you're only doing singing, you know, with other people, and they won't let you touch the guitar and the pad, how do you end up playing a musical instrument, Nick?
This is actually a funny story. One of the first local shows that I went to when I was about 12 years old, there was a little lottery, and they were giving away an Ibanez Geo, which is, objectively, it's a pretty shit guitar. Somehow I won it. I bought a lottery ticket at the show, and I got to take home the guitar. Then I practiced a little bit on it, but it was just mostly laying around for a couple of years. And then when I was 15, I took, I guess, 4 guitar classes, but then I was failing in school, and my parents told me you can no longer go to the guitar classes. And then at age 17, I think I really started playing. My buddy Eric, with whom I'm in this band Sleep Kit, I think I gave you some MP3s. He taught me how to play basic chords and stuff. And then I just started playing more and more instinctively and taught myself.
Oh, so your buddy, but you were taking classes before your buddy showed you shit, right?
But just really 4 classes or something. It was like a metal guy, like a Dream Theater fan or something, and he taught me a bunch of power chords and maybe
kind of prog,
a Forest
too,
by the Cure or something.
It's kind of prog too, a lot of parts in the Dream Theater.
I think so.
6 strings.
he was really good.
We're not trying to get prejudiced to your stuff, but music is music, and but it didn't attract you as much as playing with your buddy did.
So I didn't get that. What?
The cat you made the band Sleep Kit with,
this
attracted you a lot. But you wanted to play with him. You didn't want to learn Dream Theater.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is a few years later. And there was a little gap in between where I didn't play very much, but I definitely was more interested in playing with my buddy Eric than learning how to play Dream Theater.
Now, with Eric, not just learning how to play, but did you start composing?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I asked that because when I started, me and D. Boone started, we were copying songs off records like assholes. We just didn't know. Nobody else did. I mean, you got to kind of have a culture of that around, you know. So
yeah.
I got to thank Eric for doing that because he already had been going with music, right?
Yeah. He had a band when he was – I listened to the CD a couple of weeks ago, and he was just 14 or 15 years old, and they had a band that sounded exactly like Blink 182 or something, but – You could never tell that someone who's 14 years old is even playing on it, let alone like wrote it. He's just very, it all comes very natural to him.
Ah, so you're thinking maybe Prodigy?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Right, a Prodigy's like a.
Like Mozart, a child, Wunderkind.
Yeah, right. But
yeah.
Fortunately, he didn't have his fucking father prostitute him out to the Louis or some shit. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
Now, you and Eric, more than just play together, you make a band, the Sleep Kit. Sleep Kit goes way back to this?
No, we had another band before, but it was more like just the two of us playing, and we didn't do that much. And a couple of years later, I guess, when I was 19 or 20, so this is not long after, we started this band, Sleep Kit, and,
So when you were a duet, you guys never did a gig?
Yeah, we did.
Well, tell me about that.
Eric was the primary songwriter, and we would just record, at home with one microphone, and it was like, was it acoustic, two acoustic guitars, and we would both sing.
What I'm saying is, this is probably the first public performance.
I think I skipped this part. The first public performance was when I was just singing in a band when I was 15, and it was at some gym hall somewhere. But this was like a type of emo band where I was just singing, and we played
songs?
Two songs.
what were they, your songs, or were you like helping a band out, or they were helping you out?
This was like more like with guys from high school, and if you would listen now, it sounds very very much like high school kids. I didn't write any music, like I didn't touch the guitar or anything in the band. It was in a period where I also didn't think I would be able to do it, where I just thought, maybe I can like scream in a band and that's it. So the idea of me playing guitar and actually writing songs, this is later with Eric.
Okay.
But
still, this was your first, we say break the water, huh? Because you did a public performance, even though it wasn't your stuff or anything. Okay. And then you and Eric start doing like duets, kind of like coffee house, open mic kind of things.
Yeah, we would mostly play like, I guess, autonomous left wing infrastructure.
Okay.
It's like a little bit of a political band, you know. We did a few shows where we played with, I guess, a bunch of American people, like the guy from Bomb the Music Industry we opened once, this guy Mischief Brew, and then this band AJJ, or formerly Andrew Jackson Jihad, we played with them, and with the guy from Choking Victim, we played one time. We opened up. But this was all, you know, in very, like, well, have you been to any of these autonomous centers in Germany, for instance?
Well, I wouldn't call it that. Maybe squat or something.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Lightning bolt
autonomous center,
right? Yeah. No, but that's okay. In fact, it's more sophisticated. But this idea where taking over an abandoned building and makes good use out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
To talk about a Dutch band with that kind of history.
Yeah.
X.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Great cats. I love these cats. Sok. And, he's with King Champion Sounds these days. What about... So Sleep Kit comes out of this. And is that the first kind of band you're in that's not, you know, acoustic duo?
Before that, I had, like I said, in high school, emo band. But I would say Sleep Kit was my first... let's say a proper band where I would say, yes, this represents me or me and my friends, or, you know,
well,
something
you
feel confident
right?
about.
It's you and Eric.
Yeah, and a drummer. And a drummer, yeah.
People, right? Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so it's a drummer and two guitar?
No, it's just me on guitar, Eric on bass, and this guy Daniel,
Eric's
he
on
played
bass.
Drums.
Okay, I didn't know Eric.
Yeah, but in the old band, he wasn't guitar.
Right,
he can play anything.
So he moved over. So you became a power trio. Okay.
Yeah, no, I think so, of sorts.
Yeah. And don't mention Rush, but you can say Cream or Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Well.
It's funny. If you say trios, they always want to talk about Rush. They never want to talk about Cream.
Yeah, it's true.
Tell me about the first Sleep Kit gig.
It was also in what is commonly referred to as an autonomous center, or a squat, in Aachen, Germany. And it was some friends' bands and us. I was very nervous And we had a, but it went well. It went well, I think. I don't really remember much. We played just, four or five songs.
Yeah, but you,
I think,
was,
you know.
Again, you broke the water, you know, you got the ball rolling. So
I
think that's really important stuff. And, look, we're at the end of the first hour, August 10, 2021 edition of Walk for Pedro Show. Special guest, am I pronouncing this right? Nick Youngin?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay. Hold tight, fire, too. August 10, 2021, second hour of the Walk for Pedro Show.
Remember once. touches the rain, breaking down on me, pouring it out of me.
between the sand and sea. Behind the stone and underneath, no shells to take home from the beach, just a figure in the city streets.
Black for Pedro show started off the second hour with Palindrome, Ghost Bag, Nick Youngkin. Manuel Armida after that, Yellow Knife Canada. Well, that's where he is. He's from Mexico City. Punk Routine / Mutilated Limbs. And Lucas Sabella from Sydney, Australia. Osha. Calabos out of Irvine, Texas. Charles Bonnet Syndrome. Merman from the city with my black bag, and then Ghost Bag. All the world is free. Okay, so how long do you do Sleep Kit?
I guess technically we're still going, but because of the pandemic, we haven't been doing much. We rehearsed for 1 week though, and we met up a couple of times. But I guess we've been going since 2013.
And Eric, and the drummer man, is Berliners?
Eric lives in Aachen. He is Dutch, but he lives in Aachen, Germany. And the drummer, Patrick, who we've been playing with since 2015, he lives in Leipzig, Germany. So we're pretty far apart right now.
I got to tell you, because I played Aachen, and you can walk into Holland. It's close.
Yeah. Actually, we met there. We, Matt, we briefly spoke at your show. I think this was 2015.
Music Bunker?
Yeah. I came up to you and asked you about your show with Jandek.
Ah, two shows, actually.
You were very nice about it, and you said thank you for asking me about that.
Yeah, I played with him in Orange County, Southern California here, and then in his hometown, Houston.
You told me that he likes to listen to the Germs.
Or all kinds. He knew all about our old days and shit. Yeah, he likes all kinds of music. Yeah, he's got this reputation. He's an outsider or something. And maybe he is, but maybe we all are. But that doesn't mean he's ignorant of the old days.
Right, yeah.
He knew all about the old days and shit. And in fact, before the gig, the first one in Orange County, he asked me to do Jack Bruce Cream. He said, why don't you do a Cream thing? I said, okay. Because we didn't talk about the gig at all until like 1 minute before we went on stage. And the young man who was a drummer was shitting his fucking pants. I said, just keep a beat. He was from a band called Health or something, and you know, younger guy. And I said, just keep the beat. It's okay. I'll be the glue. I'll glue this shit to what he's got going. And showed me a pedal. He goes, I'm going to use one of these. I guess he'd never used a pedal before. Interesting man. He called himself the representative from Corwood Industry. So we did meet. Ah, that's so great. That's so great, Nick.
I love
that gig. That was a great gig. And what a way to repurpose a building.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, right. Soundproofed for sure. So look, I asked about whether Sleep Kit was still going because you gave me all this music from Ghostbag. So I'm kind of curious about Ghostbag.
Yeah. Yeah, this is just me. I would say up until this point, it's been sort of a home recording project. The first album I made in collaboration with German illustrator Tina Fetz, who is now my partner. After the record, we became a couple, and we exchanged illustrations and home recordings. It was kind of a dialogue, and at some point this was released as an LP and a pretty thick zine. So this was the first album. And the second album I recorded, or it's not an album, it's like a mini album or an EP I recorded in Salvador, Bahia, Brazil, where Tina and I were in some sort of artist residency for 2 months. And besides that, I've played shows together with Tina and solo, and one show with a drummer as well.
Okay, so very
give you the whole rundown.
Well, very personal proj though, Ghostbag.
Yeah.
So maybe you didn't put it together really to do performances, right? It was more as a artistic expression.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. But I like playing live as well. So when I'm recording it, when I'm writing it, I'm unbothered with the idea of how am I going to do this live.
Right.
But then we make it work, or I make it work solo. It's right.
Yeah, they each have their own realm to exist in, or to manifest itself. Yeah, I want to play this one you gave me, 12 Hours.
Yeah.
Me looking in the mirror straight, an older but familiar. train. I wish I could have stayed in those long gone summer days. The light is on, but I'm afraid. Who will take the blame? Doesn't matter anyway. Childhood and me, we are the same. No one's left standing in the rain.
Hello, Dan. It's Joe here. I hope you're keeping well. It's the 21st of December. Now they're ringing the lock bell. If I get good behavior, I'll be out of here by July. But won't you kiss my kids on Christmas Day? Please don't let them cry. Brothers are driving down from Queensland, and Stella's flying in from the coast. They say it's gonna be 100 degrees, even more maybe, but that won't stop the road. Who's gonna make the gravy now? I bet it won't take the same. That flour, salt, a little red wine. Don't forget a dollop of tomato sauce for some sweetness and that extra tang. And give my love to Angus and to Frank and Dolly. Tell them all I'm sorry. I screwed up this time. And the Costa Rita, I'll be thinking of her early Christmas morning when I'm. Boyfriend, I hope he can hold his own. Do you remember the last one? What was his name again? Just a little too much cologne. And Roger, you know I'm even gonna miss Roger. Cause there's sure as hell no one in here I wanna fight. I'll pray the baby Jesus. Have a Merry Christmas. I'm really gonna miss it. All the treasure and the trash. Later in the evening, I can just imagine you put on Junior Murphy and push the tables back. And your dance with Rita, I know you really like her.
Pedro Show, that chunk of music started with Ghost Bag doing 12 hours, then Bossa de Naga, then Go.
Van Gogh.
Sorry. God, we were just talking about Van Gogh, I think, or something. Cook's Hand. Not my title, people, but it's a good one. Digital Images have that with Bobo Brain. How to Make Gravy from Paul Kelly. And finally, at last, fuck, Ghost Bag. At last. That's a new English word for me. Usually it's two words, but that's okay. Have fun with it. I'm curious about the process for composition for Ghost Bag, because you say it's kind of a collab, or is it man alone but inspired by your partner?
Yeah, so the first record, all the songs were kind of inspired by illustrations, but then I recorded and I wrote everything by myself. But then I would send over, so Tina would send me an illustration that she made, mostly also very personal stuff. Then I would somehow, I'm not much of a spiritual guy in that sense, but like I would sort of meditate on it or like really concentrate for a couple of hours looking at this drawing and I would then kind of dogmatically in one day write and record a song. And then I would send this back to Tina, and then she would cook up the next illustration. So it became like a sort of a conversation.
I was going to say dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was very dynamic. The next development depended on the fucking reply.
Yeah.
Like you could start it off with something like, obviously it was the illustration was the fucking launch pad, right? And then
yeah,
you responded
exactly.
with something musically, and then she respond back, and that would develop. Yeah, very interesting way.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes this is what I use literature or paintings to help inspire mm-hmm. me with my music. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes right.
That makes sense. Yeah, makes total sense.
Well, tell me how. How does inspiration figure in? I mean, or do you always have ideas about writing songs, or do you need to get inspired?
Well, it depends. I mean, I would say if I pick up a guitar, I'm always inspired to write any type of riff or express myself on a guitar, right? So this I would say goes well 99% of the time, but. The Ghost Bag project is very, the focus is a lot on lyrics, I think. And Yeah, this is harder to pull out of your head, basically, or to get inspired sometimes. So it was really helpful to have these illustrations of someone basically provoking you to write something. I think already that if the circumstances are good and there's a healthy curiosity in the other person and stuff, already that is quite inspiring. And that was certainly the case. I was always very, very excited to do it. And I guess this kind of kick-started a lot of ideas.
And the idea of you saying, write something, you mean express yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, definitely. These songs are all, like they're all very like, personal, just yeah. expressions, yeah.
Yeah. Understood. And so the lyric thing. Do you keep a book of words that are like a reservoir, a repository, suppository?
Yeah. Well, I have in the past in various forms. So I used to have a little booklet. Then I would keep something in my phone. Then on the computer, it's all a bit scattered. But I definitely keep some. I try and keep ideas for when they might come in handy or.
Okay. So when you get these cues from. You know, wherever, well, in this case, your partner, you can go back and stuff you wrote before you find appropriate. Or is it like, I'm going to try to create the moment that I fucking experience this?
It's the latter. But I also remember using just like a sentence that I had written down somewhere for the record where I thought, oh, this actually fits in, you know. So mostly when I write stuff down, it's just a sentence or just a small idea.
You know what's trippy about that is, how could you know the future? But isn't it trippy how sometimes, God damn, this fits?
Yeah, it was a lot like this. I had a real like multiple eureka moments or something. I would say also it was kind of an emotional roller coaster because of that, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I can. Relate or empathize, that's the word. I could empathize because it's something about that. Because, you know, expression can be so abstract, but when it starts connecting with stuff that's really happening in your life, criminy.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the second hour, August 10, 2021. Just your Wap Peter Show special guest, Nick Youngin. Hold tight for hour three. August 10, 2021. It's the third hour of the Wap Peter Show.
Thank you.
Pedro show. Start off the third hour with Nick Youngins. It was one of his earlier musics, but still going, people. He's spread across three towns, very far apart, but still, that's the power of music. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Sleep Kit with Tug of War. Then we had track one from this live in San Francisco, August 1st, 2019, Tollum and the Robo Saxophone Quartet. Tollum McDonough sent me this. Tomorrow I'll play track two. Yeah, they didn't want to give titles. Platform from Plasterman after that out of Ithaca. Cornell Home. We had a guy from Ithaca yesterday. Yeah, Travis Johns, Spaceman. Great cat. Sleep Kit. Foster Ghost Plan. Foster Ghost Plan.
Yeah.
Well, you used the part of the name of your other proj in the title of this tune for Sleep Kit. But this predates Ghost Bag, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So, but Sleep Kit is a going concern, ongoing concern. So, how do you write for different projects? How do you know a tune that you wrote is for Ghost Bag, and how do you know if it's for Sleep Kit?
Okay. Well, the Sleep Kit stuff. Eric and I wrote a lot of it just sitting across from each other.
Ah, cool.
In the second album, we wrote completely like that. We just sat across from each other in my bedroom and also basically made one song per rehearsal session or something. Then this other band I was in, Baby Galaxy, the bass player, Robert, he would never allow me to bring riffs from home, which was actually in the end pretty good. he just wanted to write everything together as his group.
No, I understand that, but why do you think that was pretty good?
Because of what we created together then.
Ah, so if you brought in those riffs, it would have not made room. There wouldn't have been enough room.
Exactly, or I would have maybe been too dogmatic about it. It turned out to be
dogmatic. Well, like what? My riffs or no riffs?
No, not like that, but it's supposed to, I envision it like this, this is kind of how it goes, you know.
Oh, you already have a reinforced view of what it should be.
Instead yeah, possibly, of being which is what we.
Enough to learn yeah. what it could be.
Yes, very hostile, yes. I tend to write oftentimes whole songs or follow the thought until the end and. Then I come up immediately with a few different parts, you know.
Okay.
I
noticed you don't give me any Baby Galaxy music.
I didn't?
Oh, you did.
Oh.
The last tune.
The last two. Yeah, okay.
The last tune. Mighty Night. You did give me one. The very last tune is Baby Galaxy.
Yeah.
And so we got to thank the bass player for that, right?
Yeah, Robert is his name.
Thank
yeah.
you, Robert. Yeah. Donkey Will.
Yeah, very good.
Was that okay?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it's pretty good. It's pretty impressive. You seem to know a lot about Europe and a lot of.
You think?
Well, you know more about Europe than I do. I think.
You think so? Well,
I'm pretty sure.
Toward a little bit, but I want to be presumptuous, because you know what happens when you assume. My pop was way into this. He thought it was not an accidental spelling of the word.
Hmm.
He said, when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me.
Ah, I see. I didn't know the pun. Yeah.
I'm going to assume I know Europe better than you, European Nick Younger. I do want to play The Warmth from Ghost Band.
This is the first. Yeah, I'll try your fruit. You care for me. You say it. Goes to show I'll take a risk. I never cut anything without thinking bad things could happen. So I look out, dissect the world. I'll eat the fruit out of your hand just to show you how much I care. It's Christmas time. I feel the warmth. I feel that warmth. At least I think I do. What do I do with it?
your eyes closed, hold your breath, and then you're gone. The dark department, we were me. I trust you and you trust me. Safety lies at the edge of sleep. Free from harm between my sheep. Till the break of dawn, when the sun doesn't shine and it's always warm. When the light changes, I'll be moving on. In a hasty rush, I'll be getting gone.
Our last music for this edition, Ghost Bag with The Warmth, then Derek Moneypenny with Unjust Intonation Part 4. Sorry, Part 2 was yesterday, but I fucked up the order. Anyway, you got all four parts. Baby Galaxy after that. We do have some music. Thank you, Robert, for having Nick not bring a riff. And the band organically had to collaborate to get this tune built.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. And the drummer, Case is his name. He's a, how do you say? He's a musical brain. So he I guess it's not very typical that a drummer really has a very, very large, part in the songwriting, but in this band it certainly was.
Well, they like should. That. That's bullshit. That is real bullshit. Why is drums any less an instrument than any other one?
I know, but I mean,
he
not had.
No, you personally. I'm talking rhetorically here, Nick. I'm putting it out here, because you bring up a good fucking point.
I'm used to it that people just say, this is bullshit, I'm from Holland. You know, people talk like this to you with no...
I know, Dutch dudes are way up front, believe me. I find it refreshing, you know, okay. But, in fact, I never heard a Belgian joke before until I met Dutch guys.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was terrible. Because I think the Flems are a little more shy compared to a Dutch
guy. Yeah, they are.
But, I'll tell you, Dutch guys next to U.S. are very shy. We're the most... Come on, we're overboard with that fucking thing. Maybe you guys are like...
Yeah, maybe.
It's all relative. Anyway, the main point I'm trying to get to is Chico Hamilton tried to get songwriting credit. Drummers can't write songs. Why? Because the notes last too short? Fuck you guys. Music is music. And thank God, and especially rock and roll, where it's rhythm music. God, you know, last 20 years, this is a big mistake Minutemen made. We should have had George Hurley right up at the front of the stage. Last 20 years... When I play with Fratello Andrea, he's at the front of the stage. And by the way, he is a great composer. He gives songs where you write our parts, not just his parts. So, you know, instruments are just ways to make a song happen. It's not some kind of, like, installment plan on Hierarchyville. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That stuff want to rebuild the Middle Ages or some shit or whatever kind of lame-ass thing. I'm curious about Baby Galaxy. Is it like Sleep Kit? Is it an ongoing concern?
Sort of, yeah. We never really broke up. I think if someone would invite us to play a show, I think we could do it. We're still on good terms. We just haven't played together in a while because I moved to Berlin at some point, and they're both in Maastricht, Holland.
Okay. So they're still together. But what about, do you do this shit where you trade files over the internet?
Actually I'm in a band right now with an English drummer here called Tal, and we've been trying to find a bass player here, and I don't know, we're thinking about playing with a Canadian friend of mine, and so I think soon we might have to do the file sharing thing. I haven't really done that before.
Okay. Yeah, you can use the internet for more stuff than just spreading bullshit and lies. You can actually collaborate. Now, I'm not going to say it's the same thing as playing in the room with somebody, but it's still... I've made whole albums with dudes I've never even fucking met.
Really?
I wouldn't shit you, Nick.
And okay.
Can I ask you a question about the Berlin scene? It seems, for one thing, lots of art, lots of music people, international artistic town, Berlin. But it seems like... I noticed, like, Auslanders play with Auslanders.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. This is what I'm doing as well, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I kind of mentioned it. But it's not just you. A lot of cats that I notice. And I'm wondering, why maybe? And why not with some ethnic German?
Okay. So here's my theory, but I always have a lot of bold opinions, so please take this with a grain of salt, or just pretend it's bullshit, bullshit up front. My impression of German people and music is that most people do it as a hobby. I could be dead wrong, but that most people's primary concern is going to university, getting a job and stuff, and that, that music always comes second. Maybe that's why, but I could be wrong.
Well, I'm thinking of bands like Can and Kraftwerk, and seem like they were kind of into it.
For sure, some people really do it, but I mean,
and you know, we're talking about generalities anyway, so I'm not trying to separate people, because especially something like arts, it's to bring people together, and it's beautiful.
Yes.
Here's the kind of thing I see. You being a Dutch Auslander and a Canadian one, a U.S. one, Italian one, you're kind of in similar, more situation a little bit than an ethnic German. So you could find that a little simpatico, sympathetic.
Although I speak German fluently also. Well, so I could, it would be very easy for me to do that.
Yeah. Look, there's nothing right or wrong. It was just something that I was tripping on. Here's another thing. I noticed a lot of experimental musicians, they're the youngest sibling.
The youngest sibling. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, no, the people on my show, they almost all got older brothers and sisters that are really adventurous outside musicians. So, but it's not scientific. It's the same thing. It's just something I've noticed, okay? But it's nothing I would try to build a political party out of.
No. I made a similar observation where sometimes, I play, let's say, professionally for this Dutch folk band I Am Ook. We're all friends, but it's not really my music. I just play with them in the live band, and you know, sometimes we meet, and a lot of Christian people are interested in folk music, and I notice they're always a lot of the times they're in pairs, two brothers or.
Wow.
There's a lot. It seems to be like a family band type of thing.
I mean, it's important
not
to make assumptions based on this kind of shit, because then you start getting prejudiced and bigoted. So I'm not trying to say anything like that.
I don't mean it.
I know you didn't. I know you didn't. But I'm putting that out there for the listeners so they know that Watt wants, and so is Nick Youngin, wants the freak flag to fly unhindered.
Yes. I want to get along with everybody.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you for being on the show so much. When you get some new music, will you come back on the show and let's talk about it?
Yeah, please. Okay. That'd be very nice.
Yeah, bitch it. People, it's been August 10, 2020. Oh, again, thank you, Gotcha. Tello Andrea for the connect. August 10, 2021, and Dish Watt Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.